Hey folks, welcome to the show. It's Planet Destiny Podcast. We're here to talk about everything Destiny. It's the last show of 2016. Everyone say goodbye to this big dumb year. And in 2017, we'll still be playing Destiny, but hopefully maybe a different form of Destiny. Who knows, hopefully, guys? There's a lot to speculate and look forward to next year.
Has everyone had a good Christmas?
Oh, yeah, Christmas
happened.
Have
you had a good Christmas?
Yeah.
It was a wonderful Christmas. The best Christmas ever. Yes. Well, it could have been better if we would have podcasted, but instead we chose to spend time with our families.
We kind of made that choice. Yeah, I had a pretty good Christmas. I spent most of my time working right up until Christmas Day, because that's what I do. I work in logistics. I make other people's Christmas happen. But got to spend the day with my family. Got to go see Rogue One, which is great. And then I played a bunch of video games. Yeah, high five, Moans.
God, this is wonderful. Did I miss a memo that everyone in my apartment building is supposed to start vacuuming Friday night at 10 o'clock? I really thought that they were bowling up there. Like, I don't know.
Maybe they are.
Yeah.
Do you live under a Dave and Buster's?
I can actually hear what sounds like a bowling ball rolling across a wooden floor.
They got the new Dyson with that huge ball pivot swivel on the bottom, and they're rolling that crap.
Hey, that would be a good Christmas present. Don't complain.
I would be thrilled to get a Dyson vacuum for Christmas. I'm not, like, as a kid, that would have been the lamest gift ever. But Dyson, they've sold me. All right, they're the most innovative company in the world, as far as I'm concerned. What they're doing with vacuums is just amazing.
They've got like the backup story. Who comes out on the commercials and is like, it's the most innovative vacuum cleaner in the world. It's like, I don't know what you're selling, but I want one.
Tell me more.
Okay. I'm gonna divert us to some Destiny here. Okay, the dawning is coming to an end. By the time the next show is around, we will be back to the old ways. There won't be any SRL events. It won't be snow in the tower. I'm going to be real sad to see the snow leave, because I've been dreaming of that since day one. Really, that was my one wish, was like snow in the tower. But what did we think? Best event? Worst event? Pretty good?
That's good.
I'd say best event.
Basically.
I finished my book, so I'm really happy with that.
Yeah.
I'm like two nodes away
from finishing
it.
The book was really nice. It was so nice to have a little bit of a completionist fun with that and be like, ooh, I can't wait to click those circles once I get there. I love that stuff. The books have been a great addition.
That's the thing about Destiny. I don't know how they, like, that's one of the things I love about the game. We were talking before about how it's so satisfying just in base. Even clicking the circles is a satisfying event to me.
Yeah. Rip.
Destiny. When
grab it. Someone grab it. Someone grab it right now.
Damn it.
We almost lost
frozen. It happened. Fuck.
Somebody pull the clip and just grab that face. It was just, it was like happy mag. Like,
it was great.
I don't want to laugh too hard because that's going to happen to me. I'm going to
buddy.
Well, I was going to say how nice it is to click on those circles. Everything's satisfying in Destiny, but now I hate everything about it. I hate Bungie. They froze it on purpose.
Been keeping his head as simple and straightforward as possible and not smiling too much or making any expressions. He's like, there will be no reason to meme me on this podcast ever.
I am unmemeable.
But I've had a lot of fun with the event. It's something surprising is it's really gotten me back into running strikes on a regular basis. Like, I've been running strikes on all three of my characters basically every day, trying to get Zavala's bounties done, because I want the gear sets that go along with it. And they drop 400 gear, weapons and armor. And so I'm very happy with that. I'm super glad that it's sticking around after the Dawning ends. That's going to be a permanent part of the game moving forward, which I think is good. And yeah, I've had a lot of fun with this. Sparrow Racing League is fun. Strike scoring is fun. Two thumbs up from me.
Yeah, I think the big difference in this live event, and live event sort of feels like it happens for this amount of time, then it goes away, that there's actually quite a bit that is sticking around after the Dawning.
Yeah.
And I think that's the absolute best thing they could have done. And I agree with Link that the new Zavala bounties have really changed the game for me. And actually, I'm not going to play it a lot. You know, I'm not going to grind it out for 5 hours. I'm going to get them done and then go back to PvP. But it gives me a lot of reason to grind out some strikes, because that gear, like you said, is just cool and it's consistent, and I love the idea of being able to get that gear regularly throughout the week. And it won't be perfect every drop, but at least I'll have a chance to get it, and it's not just, well, that's all you got while the event was here, hope you're happy with those rolls. You get a chance every week, and that's exactly what they needed to do.
Who's got Icebreaker?
Me.
Just me.
The only one.
You're the only one who truly deserved it. Your love for it was strongest.
Of course. So yes. Yeah.
I used it a little bit in trials earlier today since I got a half day at work. It's hard to hit people in the head with it, but it's nice to have ammo consistently, I guess. I was going to say, I'll talk about Icebreaker because I used it in Wrath of the Machine as well. And I will. It's not game breaking. It's not like sit in the back with our icebreakers and shoot oracles. It doesn't change the mechanics, but it is a really good choice. So if you do get that gun, I do recommend it. Couple things is that the timing of events, since everything is much more active, much more moving around, a lot of different things happening, and you're not as stationary a lot. The icebreaker's recharge rate is just fine. So, for example, on Axis, you can get 6 shots off on the first little damage between a teleport. Then you can jump around, do a couple smashes, and at the end, you can do more damage with icebreaker. So it's nice to have consistent ammo for that. The coolest thing was that mulligan procs on the monitors.
Really?
So you can get like 4 or 5 shots. Like, you can be the guy to do monitors if you want, because every time you will have at least 5 shots in icebreaker, take monitors down, and then mulligan procs, you can get more shots off, and you have so much ammo for that phase. So it made the Arc Priest phase really nice. I do recommend it for at least that segment.
That's cool. I wonder if that triggers for other guns with miss reload perks, like super good advice. I mean, it worked for Oracles.
I mean, I'd imagine, because that's not, you know, that's not really unique to Icebreaker.
Yeah.
But it's certainly convenient if it does proc with other things. I did also try it on the Siege engine, and that accepts it like a hit. Mm-hmm. So you can't just, you know, proc mulligan while you're picking off the guns or whatever. But it is nice for the monitors. I used it to great efficiency, so I'm happy to have it back, even if it's not the PvP Slayer it once was.
Favorite ornament, Bones? Favorite ornament?
Oh, the camo one. I forget the name of it. Like
Dune something.
Dune.
Yeah, Dune something. I have both, but the camo one is awesome. I love how it changes the barrel to that like sleek, straight look. I don't know. It's really awesome. And it changes the scope to green on the outside, which is the best.
That's cool.
Ooh. Yeah. Oh, maybe the best perk of all about having the icebreaker during the raid is that when you get to a point where people on your team need special ammo and they decide to run down into the pit to get the special ammo from the hundreds of shanks that you've killed, and you're like, dude, just wait 2 seconds. There's still shanks coming down. They'll be like, I'll be fine. I just need ammo. And they go down and die. And you want to blow your brains out.
Yeah, like, we will make it if you don't have like 6 rounds in your sniper.
Yeah, I'm just curious how many Nightfalls you actually ran, Bones, so I can calculate how much Bungie is screwing me over.
Correct. Yes.
There is a specific formula to determine much you're getting screwed.
I think it had to be 5 or 6. Nothing the first week.
Oh, okay.
I think I got it the second week. I can't remember how long the Dawning has been active. I think so. Okay. But yeah, if it was the first Nightfall I did this week on Tuesday. So that's when I got it, and it dropped for me and my friend Dan on the same Nightfall, which was a fun little reward.
That's really cool.
But not too long.
Were you streaming at the time?
Was not. Okay. No streamer RNG. Okay.
I was going to say, what do you think the odds are for people who don't work on 2 Destiny podcasts? What would you say the odds are?
Oh, much lower. Much lower. You're looking in March, April is when you should be expecting
Icebreaker.
If I haven't
sent my check to Deej, what's the percentage drop on this?
Can we cut that out on the recording version?
We're not supposed to
fall out. We don't say we don't.
Oh, we're not supposed to mention the money we send to Bungie?
That we pay for our guns?
Of course.
Yeah, I've run 9 Nightfalls, still haven't gotten it. I'm none too pleased with that.
It's not as many trials tickets I did before I got Winged Word.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty happy to get Icebreaker as soon as I did, because I was like, I feel like I got my karma was that trade-off for sniper rifles.
It's a balance. Teeter-totter.
That's
effect.
Fair. That's fair. Whereas I got Winged Word, my first trials card on PS4, so that was nice.
You go.
It does seem like overall the drop rate for Icebreaker is pretty low, because I've noticed that a lot on my stream. Certainly a lot of people saying they haven't gotten it. Only one person in my normal gaming group has gotten it. And I'm still chasing it. We'll see you next week.
And just for those that might not know, you can only get Icebreaker or have a chance at getting Icebreaker from completing, it's the Sunrise Bounty from Zavala, isn't it? So when you cash that bounty in, it'll just appear, won't it?
And you would do get the normal legendary drop. So I got a legendary gun and the Icebreaker at the same time, which is
cool. So you got weapon parts and an Icebreaker?
Yeah, dude, I can level it up.
Well, hold on. He said a legendary gun. He didn't say a primary. It could have been a Matador.
I'm pretty sure it was the Vanguard auto rifle, and I'm pretty sure it no longer exists.
So
you're not rocking whatever the Vanguard auto rifle is called?
The Continental.
Yeah, the gun no one will ever name off the top of their head.
Yeah, I got a Continental this week from my Zavala bounty. I was like, thanks for the marks, Zavala. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I got one too.
I actually got an emote package from the Nightfall. I was amazed to actually see one drop. I've never seen it happen. So, and since I buy every single emote already, it was really useful for me. But, you know, that's fine.
I'm just changing my name to I Am Casket Mag.
Ooh. Yeah, tell me the story of your Ayas Luna rage.
Oh my god.
I saw those tweets.
156 SRL games before a Luna dropped. And I'm not going to complain about the Luna itself, because it has braced frame, so I can finally see what all the fuss is about with braced frame. Because there's a few people that I know that are really rate braced frame on a Luna. So I'm going to try that out and see if there's anything behind it. So at least there's something. But yeah, it was Sure Shot, yay! Exhumed, braced frame, and life support. So that's an interesting Luna, in my opinion. It's not the worst, but every time I've put a skeleton key into a chest that could cough out an Imago loop, Casket Mag. Every time there's a possibility of a palindrome dropping from either a legendary engram or a crucible package, Casket Mag. It's like driving me nuts right now. In fact, loot has been terrible for me from SRL. Loads of armor. I mean, SRL is fantastic if you're trying to get your light level up to, you know, like a bit, the armor is just flowing like a fountain of wines. That's awesome. However, if you're looking to try and farm a Matador or, you know, something of use for someone who's been playing a long time, I just find the drop rates are so low. You know, one Matador in 156 races, one Luna in 156 races. I know it might be higher for other folks. I have no idea, but, like, that's pretty poo.
Story just seems to have the worst luck of anybody I know.
Tell me about
it.
Maybe.
Tell me about
it.
There is somewhere there's a dial at Bungie, then it's everyone's RNG, and yours is just twisted all the way to the bottom.
He's done 150 especially SRL matches.
Fallout's like 150 races.
Make it rifle reinforced off. Give him brace frame.
I haven't had any hand cannons with rifle barrel like since that Luna drop for me. I think it was about four months ago. So it's a very rare perk that I get with hand cannons, and I use hand cannons almost exclusively. So it's frustrating, you know.
It's frustrating.
Actually, I want to go back and ask a question, because I know when it first dropped, I saw a lot of people saying that the Nexus could drop the Imago loop, but can it? Because I've never actually verified, and I've never
seen
anybody get it.
I'm pretty sure it's just a bond.
All right. And an artifact. Because I saw people say that, like, since it's a Vex one, that there's a chance that it could drop the Imago loop, but I never got verification. I don't know if anyone else is dumb like me or too lazy to Google it, and since I'm on a podcast, I just wait until I'm on air and, you know, ask you
to ask the question.
Sounds like every comment I've ever read on every YouTube video I've ever made. Oh, dude, my brother's cousin told me that if you hump the ground and then the Imago loop,
you can get it. I was gonna say Fallout. If you teabag the chest before you use the skeleton,
that makes sense.
Then the Imago loop.
Gotta bag the chest.
That sounds good to me. I'll start bagging, and I know that that'll work.
I have only ever seen it drop from the Undying Mind and from Echo Chamber.
I grabbed myself a couple of the loincloth dick towels or whatever they're supposed to be, in my efforts just to see out of curiosity.
That's a fantastic class item.
It is. Yeah, exactly. That's my favorite Titan class item by far.
The I've Golden Dick Piece is what I call it. Oh,
yes. Yeah, those the of you who are fans of the show listening at home, you might be surprised to learn that Mega has quite an extensive dick towel collection.
He collects them. He is a connoisseur of dick towels for Titans. And that one's the best.
Any of you guys have that Cloak of the Leopard you can get from the Undying line?
Is that what else drops there? I've seen one person with it, but I haven't gotten one.
I saw Leopard Stealth get it, and, you know, Leopard, blah, 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 so he was really excited. He was like, he posted a clip, and he was very thrilled, and I was like, oh, yeah, I got that last week, and I dismantled it, because it was like 89% or whatever, and I'm stingy for drops, and I was like, I didn't realize that was rare, which is...
Oops.
That's very typical throwing
away, you're throwing away free retweets, buddy. Just putting a little image of you being like, oh, yeah, let's go.
But what I do in Destiny is I dismantle the first good thing I get, thinking it's probably bad, and then realize it's the meta later. Because I had a Hopscotch Pilgrim, like, the first week of House of Wolves.
Oh, no.
And that dropped. And then suddenly it was like, we need to nerf this to the ground because it's the best pulse rifle in the game. And I was like, oh, yeah, I think I had one of those. I got
You want to talk about that? Okay, so back when... the Crota raid came out, I was one of the first people in my group to get... what was the original name for the black spindle?
Black hammer.
Hammer.
Yeah.
I got the black hammer, and I was like, when am I ever going to use this? Like, I shotgun in PvP. Really? I already have a sniper that I use in PvE. I was like, dude, F this.
I don't like where this is going.
And then I was like, that may have been done too quickly.
Oof.
What do you mean? What? That was the most busted PvE gun of year one.
Yep. I threw away the most broken raid weapon ever.
That's bad Fallout, but I dismantled really my Thorn before it got buffed when it had 6 in the mag. And I had to wait for that like bounty to drop randomly from a thing again. And I also, I know I dismantled a couple IS Lunas. I don't know what their roles were, probably great. And then what else did I get rid of? Oh, I got rid of both of my year one shotguns. I had a Matador and a Party Crasher.
Oh my God.
I was like, oh, I got this new year two Party Crasher. Yeah. Great role. And it's still really good.
Yeah. Who needs the year one anymore?
I had the year ones with knee pads and like, oh my God, I wish I could still use those for sweats, but I'm an idiot.
You see, this kind of destroys a little bit of your vault space credibility where you talk about, you know, keeping it empty.
It came from. It was a combination of me throwing away that godly sniper rifle and some of my friends being like, oh, yeah, dude, I had a year one Matador, but wasn't year one anymore, so I broke it down.
That's trash.
I mean, never breaking down a weapon ever again.
Rest in peace.
And that's why my vault looks like an episode
of Hoarders. I got rid of tons of year one stuff that was... would still be bad now, but I really just thought that it was like, okay, yeah, new set of gear, those, that's like if you want to put that on to take a screenshot and say I still have Fatebringer, you know. I didn't assume it would be effective, but when it really changed PvP, I had to obviously change my tune on that a little bit. But I will say that if I kept every good gun I dismantled, I'd still have 20 spaces in my vault right now. Because I don't just hoard 5 versions of Hakon's hatchet when Iron Banner rolls around.
Well, okay, that might be me. I might still have more than one variant of Hakon's hatchet.
Iron Banner weapons, man. People keep them all. I will, you know, if anyone wants to... needs me to dismantle their stuff, I will log in on my PlayStation. Keep your information very safe. I won't post screenshots to shame you, but I will personally tell you that you're crazy, because I did it for my friend Otter last week, and I was like, why are there 10 pieces of sapphire wire in your vault? What are you doing with this stuff?
Shit, I have that stuff in my vault still.
I still have
stay
that.
The hell away from
I like
game,
the old though. Armor the old ar- stay the old hell stuff. Away from me. I only keep that stuff because I like to think that me holding on to it makes Bungie have to keep the code for it in the game. Like, they can't just delete it, and they're just pissed off somewhere, like, I just want to delete this part.
I just want, if you're ever going to ask for vault space and you have a warranted request, I ask that you post screenshots of your inventory before you request more vault space, because if I can pick out the 3 versions of the same gun, I'm going to tell you that you're wrong. If you have a lot of interesting stuff and you have, like, one of each, that's cool, I get it. But if you have, like, 5 shaders in your inventory for some reason, even though there's a kiosk now,
yeah,
I'm gonna my eye's going to start twitching and I'm going to lose my mind.
Mine's full, but I don't have any duplicates of anything that's not really useful. Like, I've got a fair few Hopscotch Pilgrims, even though I've never used it.
Yeah.
You know, but they've all got, like, really good rolls that you want to try out. You know,
but
like,
are you
going to
try
them
out is the real question.
If it gets good,
it'll be buffed someday.
I'm not against saving but then again, you know, one or two archetypes for a future meta. I have a few in my vault for sure. But that's just like, I'm telling you again, there's so much room you can have. I definitely hang on to one or two on rifles where I'm like,
my Achilles heel is armor because I like the look of some of it, and some of it you can't really get anymore. And like Taken gloves, I've still got a whole bunch of Taken gloves and boots and chest pieces and things like that. And but yeah, and guns, like there's a whole bunch of guns in there. But if let's say if Hopscotch Pilgrim did ever get a buff again, I'd probably end up scrubbing all of those because Smite of Meraine, that was my go-to, man. That was the best pulse rifle. I had such a good time with that gun. I didn't think it was going to be any good, and I got it, like, finally with Firefly, and I'm like, wow, a pulse rifle with Firefly, this is amazing, and I popped into PvP, expecting to take the piss out of it, and it ended up, like, going absolutely ham with it, and then again, ham, and I was like, wow, this is ham, I like ham.
Delicious.
Yes, delicious, but then nerf, no, it went back in the vault, but I kept it.
Rip. And now your vault is pretty open, wide up for all those IS Lunas that you're never going to get.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Every space has a little reserved marker on it with dust gathering.
I was watching some War Bulletproof the other day, and he scanned over his primary, and he's got, like, it's all full of Lunas and Palindromes with just all of them God Rolls, and I'm like, how? How did you get that many?
How is it possible?
It's when you literally do one activity all the time.
Yeah, they drop in PvP a lot, and that's all he plays.
Yeah. That's like when Fallout and I were casting that tournament, and we're like, someone was going through their inventory, whoever we were covering, and I was like, does he have 9 Matadors? Every possible roll option you can have.
That's what I like to see.
Yeah. I haven't been able to play like normal PvP, so it'd be interesting to know if they drop a lot more, because they got introduced back into the loot tables for all modes, isn't it? It's not just classic now.
But
I haven't been playing any PvP since the dawning because I've been more or less here, and this TV is like something like 28 hertz.
You don't want that lag input.
You know, like SRL, you've got to try and preempt everything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but you're going to go back, and your reaction time is going to be sharp when you get back to your normal setup.
Yeah,
I'm real sharp.
I'm hoping
full
so.
Oh, my gosh.
With mustard and mayo.
I was going to say, if we're using that as training, I did something interesting this week in terms of Destiny PvP. Not a good idea, but something I did. I went back onto my PS3 account and went into PvP on Destiny on the PS3. That was an interesting experience.
Do tell.
Talking about going back in time, I don't know if there was a weird update pushed out. Maybe it's just rose-colored glasses from back when I used to play Destiny on PS3. I don't remember the frame rate in PvP being that bad. I don't remember the frame rate literally being 24 frames per second. I played like
fast
6 matches.
As the human eye.
Just as fast as the human eye could see. And it chugged. And it's not like there was red bar connections everywhere. Most of the connections were pretty solid. It was just like, if you had more than 2 Guardians on screen at a time, it just chugged. And that's going to be the source of a couple of hopefully funny videos coming up very soon, because it's a very different experience being on PS3 and PS4. Wow. Also, no Rise of Iron. It's weird to go back to not being 400 light. Because they
separated
your characters.
Was there still a player base? I mean, I guess there still is a player base. Yeah, because people are clinging.
Yeah. There's definitely a player base.
There's something very unsettling about playing on a setup that isn't yours.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Agreed.
It's weird.
Tiniest, details.
I spent 45 minutes trying to switch the settings on my friend's TV because something didn't look right when I was playing last night. I could not
I don't know what it is.
I was like, this is not correct. When I'm turning, it doesn't feel the same. I hate
It's like
this.
Going to your friend's house to play Madden and they give you the Mad Cats controller.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, like, your player
I beat you if I had
the TI-84 calculator. The biggest change I ever noticed is in input lag, depending on what kind of TV and or monitor you play on. Yeah, I can't play on anything other than my gaming monitor. I'm like a freak about input lag, man. I asked a buddy of mine
A Smash Bros. Dude.
Yeah.
So you know the reasoning.
It's my boy.
It's just like you start when you see it, when you first see it, it's like ruined forever.
You're like, oh my god, what is this? It's like
if you are a frame behind, it can screw you up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's all it takes. I had no idea that it even existed until, was it not last Christmas, the Christmas previous? That was the special Christmas for me when I just got Hawk Moon the day before I flew out here to visit my folks. So I was like, oh, I got to try this in PvP. You know, sat down in mum and dad's armchair, and I was like, why is everyone shitting on me before I even get a chance to shoot them? And I'm like, what the hell is going on? And then I realized about that was the first time I'd ever played on a screen that had a hertz rate, like a refresh rate lower than what it should be.
If you're playing on a TV that has bad input lag, like
you're at a major disadvantage.
You're going to feel, if you ever switch to a gaming monitor, you're going to feel like Neo taking the red pill or something like that. You know?
Oh,
what
that's
I mean?
Why I'm bad. Oh, my TV has input lag, guys. Lots of it. I just realized there's
excuse.
tons of input lag on my TV.
Explains everything.
It's literally like a minute after I hit the stick. It's like I'm trying to play watching someone else's stream of me playing.
It all makes sense now.
I've ever experienced anything like it was playing. It was the Battlefield 4 beta on PC because that was. All of my gaming pre-Destiny, everything was on PC. So I had a 120Hz monitor, and I'd never really played on anything other than that, really, for a long time. And I played on Battlefield 4, and there's a big thing with PC gaming. If you have windowed borderless mode with certain games, the input lag is insane, and I have no idea that was like a thing. And I'm like, why am I losing every gunfight? This is ridiculous. And it just, every gunfight was just a supreme horse poo. You're like, I'm on the nail, man. Like, I'm on the head. My aim is good. Why am I constantly getting turned on and pooed upon? And it was because of this crazy, you know, input lag. So when I was brandishing my Hawk Moon, it just felt like the same. And I'm like, whoa, what's going on? And a bit of a search later, you realize it's refresh rate and it's not you.
Yeah.
And all is right with the world again.
It is nice when you can get to a point when you can start updating your setup. And I hate to recommend things because I know not everyone wants to spend money on video game stuff or your battle station or whatever. But it is becoming more affordable and more standard to have nice little things. And it's definitely... It helps your game. Yeah, you'll get a little better, but you're not going to be tier one if you buy Control Freaks. But things like that, like having a SCUF or having Control Freaks or a gaming monitor, or when I got the headset I have, was just like hearing a whole new world. I hopped on my Sparrow in the Cosmodrome when I had these Astros, and I was like, oh my god, I didn't know those sounds existed. And it's just nice. It feels nice to have that cool, really immersive and also comfortable gaming experience where my hands don't cramp on a dumb old DS4 thumbstick or something like that. It's just, it's nice. So I do recommend those things, but I understand why not everyone wants to
it does get
make their life
every
about
year
gaming.
Round. You're right. Like Ben View, the replacement monitor, I had a monitor die a couple months ago and I replaced it with like a really basic BenQ. It's like a 60Hz. It's not 120Hz refresh rate. And that was less than $150, I think. So, I mean, it sounds like a hell of a lot of money, but considering that over a year ago, they were like almost double that kind of price. So, things are definitely coming down in price. So if you're looking to update your setup and be a bit
more
contemporary, don't worry too much.
I have gaming monitor that's a year old now, and monitor I'm using for my computer at the moment that I got in 2011, and the one on the right that's much nicer and better was cheaper when I got this computer one, and I'm like, wow,
Yeah.
So they're definitely worth it. They're getting more and more worth it. That's it.
Yeah.
For sure.
I'm going to look into it, guys. Thanks for the recommendations.
Yeah.
Once I really start getting into sweats here any day now. up that fresh rate, get those hurts. You know what I'm saying?
Sweaty mag. Yeah. No scoping drop with that, the No Land Beyond.
Oh, yeah.
That sequel to the No Land Beyond montage.
Oh, yeah.
Bad time to tell you that No Land is banned in sweats.
Oh, no. Oh, man. Well, I'm just
he's quitting. Face. Quitting Destiny.
Bullshit.
Done.
Yeah. Honestly, you know,
end of the career.
I can deal with a lot of stuff in this community, but we've gone too far at this point. I think I can say with all of my experience and sweats, and that I know what's best for the for tournament scene. And No Land Beyond is the answer. All right, and that's it.
You just became one person's hero.
If Farcog is listening to this, I'm coming for you.
Okay. I'm coming for you, Farcog.
Hey, speaking of healthy competition, Fallout tweeted at us earlier that someone had issued a challenge, so
yeah.
We need to get a little 80s training montage going, but something's about to go down in 2017, is that right?
Yeah. Yes. We're going to have a damn fun time. It's apparently something called the, I don't know what it's called. What is it? Podcast Showdown? Podcast Throwdown?
That sounds like something that sounds like a that. Good name
something
for
like
it.
That.
Yeah, the folks over at the Destiny Community Podcast, who I'm sure we're all familiar with, have challenged the five of us to a little PvP.
Put them up, put them up.
Obviously, yeah. They don't know what they're getting into. Fallout's really the only one who understands the type of, you know, prowess I'm about to bring to the squad.
Obviously.
The leadership that I have.
Mega and I are going to disappear. You're not going to see us on the show for like a month and a half, 2 months.
No.
And we're going to be off in the woods. 80s training montage. He's got the shirt off. We're
real
chopping,
dark night
we're chopping
scenario.
Wood.
Forget me.
He's drinking
I need to
raw
come
eggs.
And join. I need
Story,
to come and join
come
that
to.
Stuff,
you
man.
Can, you can come with us. Okay.
Yeah, man.
It's
I need
like a close-up shot.
I'm gonna, we're
going to
play,
press,
we're
like,
gonna play all the Rocky movies on loop the entire time we're doing it. And we're just going to get me into the sweatiest player you've ever seen. I'm gonna be a fat kid on a summer day running to class. I'm gonna be so sweaty, it's gonna be ridiculous. All right.
Can we change our clan tag name to a fat kid on a summer day, please?
Fat kid on a summer day.
Fat kids on summer days.
Oh,
that's,
yes.
That's awesome.
I should clarify, this is totally all just completely for fun.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
We're not going to be doing sweat rules at all because there's no such thing as 5v5 sweat.
There's about
That'd be interesting.
Yeah,
we're just
going to
play
them.
We're going to make up our own rules. It's going to be a damn good time. So we don't know when that's going to happen, but I'll
yeah,
be talking
tuned.
With the folks over at DCP, and we'll get it lined up.
Yeah, I think we challenge
gonna be,
them.
It's going
to
be a fun
challenge
time.
Them to
fun
a dance-off. I am the one of the best
yeah.
in the world
there
at Destiny dance-offs.
We need to do like a marathon or like yeah. a, you know, triathlon.
Yeah,
so we have
different
PvP.
Activities we get to choose.
We can raid. I guess we can five-man.
We can race.
Wrath of the Machine.
Do a five-man wrath
yeah.
run.
Yeah.
yeah.
Sparrow racing. Oh, yeah. And then we have some strike racings. And
we're gonna keep going
and
down.
A dance-off.
The list of obscure things.
It ends
DCP,
with a dance-off on the moon.
We challenge you to sweaty hide-and-go-seek at the tower. That shit is on, dude.
First
seriously,
team to gather
seriously, if we 1, can do hide-and-seek on Venus
Spirit
Patrol,
Bloom collectively.
Spirit Bloom race. Let's go.
Yes.
I'm going to run the optimal Spirit Bloom route. Gonna be
sword hilts only.
Sword
hilts
hilt. Only is my
going
favorite
on tilt.
Mode. Let's do this.
But hey, man, that's what I always say. When there's no content, you got to fight each other. And
yeah.
get in those private matches, and we have private
for
matches
your
now.
Entertainment.
And these showdowns can happen. So
I'd like
much
to think
easier.
This is the reason private matches were created is for us
yes,
to have
possibly.
A podcast to podcast competition.
I agree.
Bones, do you want to hear something really dumb? I'm sure you
sure.
do.
Always.
I do.
I'm sure.
As a community, we were asking for private matches for so long because we really
mm-hmm.
wanted them.
No, I remember.
And oh. Do you?
I'm pretty familiar.
But only
with
a little
request.
While back, I was just sitting around with my brother, and we were like, "Why don't we just sweat in matchmaking?" And people were like, "Why would we do that if we have private matches?" I was like, "So we can maybe get a Luna." Private matches? Screw that, man! I need the weapon drops. Let's go. We know how to do this.
That's
searching,
dumb.
Searching three.
That's definitely dumb. But when Outbreak Prime was discovered and math class was working on it, I was in a raid group and we were running the monitors at the exact same time, so we just followed every step they did and then did the quest at the same time, but like an hour delayed. And there's a first segment is like, do some Crucible matches. And we were like, all right, we can just do private matches. It's like, oh, you got to play in actual matchmaking for it to count. So we're like, well, let's just match up in elimination and sweat for an hour. So we actually did Eval 3 Surging 6 classic. In elimination and played each other. And I was like, absolutely yeah, this is classic. Fun. We should do this more often. We get drops.
There you go.
So you're not that
dumb. You have to keep Fallout. Quiet yeah. about that, though, because it does work.
It does
it work. It does work.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I mean, I didn't you know, actually realize that people wanted private matches for real purposes and not just to make dumb videos.
Not for machinima more purposes.
Yeah.
To make Christmas trees out of tethers.
Yeah, exactly. You guys actually play in them and actually.
Oh, yeah.
You don't just.
Mega, there's this whole thing yeah. where you like you can use the different game modes and there's like a score. So you don't just run out of time, but like one person has decided the victor at the end of it.
Wait, I didn't know there were. I thought the only mode was mayhem. Hold on. So you had unlimited fun light effects. I didn't realize you could do other stuff in there.
No, this actual competition.
It's crazy. It's really, it's a really good time. I suggest it.
I have a really good idea. When we train to whip these suckers into shape for the PvP throwdown, we should go into matchmaking only 100% on Story's connection, because Story there tells us that he's always being matched against the tier one players of Japan and Zimbabwe.
The unkillable warriors.
Because as soon as you change the fire team, this is when I matchmake alone. As soon as I'm in other fire teams, I'll get, you know, our collective matchmaking. That's why it's better playing with other people. This is just me and my own.
You know, damn Story, it. I have
I'm gonna train. I'm Story,
who tells me
your
that
account.
He's really good at basketball, but every time I watch, he can't make the shots. Mm. You know what I'm talking about?
I can send you a lot of footage.
So what
I'm
we're saying is Fallout's cousin is really PvP. Nervous and intimidated in front
I'm
of
him. It
sounds like Fallout's cousin is literally from the movie Like Mike.
I was doing it when you weren't here.
That's
going.
I need the
shit. I just hope Fallout's cousin isn't the bully from Like Mike. That's all I have to say. Okay. Story, give me your account information. I'm going to sign on as you, and somehow it's going to work that I'm going to get your matchmaking, even though we live in different countries. And,
you know. Yeah, it's going to lower your ELO.
Sense. I'm going to fly in and visit that. You. There we go.
Yeah,
that'll work.
Yeah, come visit me. Come play.
You have
with
room
me.
For me, right? You're really willing to, you know, post me up
I
for
do.
Like a month while
you know
we train.
You know what? I've got enough room for you all at my place. So
That would
road trip.
There's an offer. Yeah,
road.
You drive across the ocean.
That might be quite a catastrophic.
You have two choices. You can come in the winter, which if you want snow and lots of it, I recommend ascend to January and between ascend to January and ascend to February. That's almost guaranteed snow.
Pass.
If you don't want snow, then come in the summer. That would be June, July. That's
I haven't seen snow in over a year, so I want some winter snow.
Snow's good. I love snow, man. Snow's cool. And it's dry as well, like super dry, so you don't really get sick. As long as you're wearing the right kind of clothes, Finland is a great place to be in the winter when it's snowy. And
okay,
by
well,
the time
I'll start
we get
driving
back,
from California, and I'll pick up the three of you guys on the way,
yeah, man.
And we'll have this
perfect.
Fun montage where one more person gets in the car and adds a level of excitement, and then
oh
we'll
gosh.
Finally make it to Story and
I'm so
yeah, party down.
Make a vid doc about it, man. That'd be cool.
Oh, yeah. We're going
to driving to Finland.
And summer's, like, awesome because in the height of summer, it doesn't get dark until about 3 a.m, and then it starts to get light
really?
At 4 a.m. So, and even at the darkest time, it's like dusk in the evening. So you can party in the summer. It's really cool. I like it.
So what you're saying is you have 1 hour nights.
It's not really a night, though. It's like about an hour and a half of dusk.
Is that horrifying to anyone else?
Right. Yeah. You know what? It's very safe from vampires where he lives, and that is encouraging to me. The movie From Dusk Till Dawn would be very short. Where story
garlic-free vampire protection.
It's a short film. All right, well, it's settled. Next Christmas.
There you go.
To Finland.
Do it.
Okay.
So, boys, what do you say that we answer a little questions? I don't know if it's time for questions right now, but sometimes...
We drag.
Right. Oh, let's be honest, it's time.
Notice this. We occasionally answer questions, and we get off track a wee bit.
Oh.
That's all right.
Never. It's never happened.
All right.
You can't prove it.
You can't do anything. And we're like, all right, guys, time to wrap up the show. Thank you for that one question we answered. Good stuff.
Yeah, half an hour ago.
I am ready to answer everyone's questions.
Ready, Freddy.
I'm pretty much the voice, the icon of Destiny. People go to me for...
Obviously.
For everything they need.
I can't open another window. I fear this laptop is going to crash. So you're going to have to read the questions out for me here.
Is Asus a good monitor brand from Cost Bluto? Asus is good.
Yes.
The other one we mentioned on this episode is BenQ. They make very specific monitors for gaming. So you're going to have those response times that you're specifically looking for. But yeah, I mean, anything that has those sort of numbers. So if you wanted to, you know, look up a BenQ, go, you know, get a, you look up the 24-inch, that's a normal, pretty standard size, and say, all right, what are the stats on this one? And then find another monitor that has those similar numbers, and it's a good reference point. But yeah, Asus is also good. There's a lot of options.
Asus is what I use, and that thing is damned awesome. I can't imagine not playing on it anymore. I can't go back. I can never go back.
Can't go back. I never go back. I'm stupid. I'm a stupid man. That's fine. I accepted it long ago.
Can we gamble on PvP showdown with DCP, asks Vago786. If you do, don't tell us about it. We want no information.
I'm not planning a part on gambling and throwing no the evil, match, no evil. I'm putting a huge bet on them. That's all I'm saying.
Plus, these guys are going to have to carry me and Mega. Like, severely carry. We're like, we should be the chum in that one.
I'm gonna just well, that's perfect the whole because time. Fallout's gonna tell me, run out there, get their attention,
run.
Yeah,
run
it works really well since Fallout's nickname in college was the boat
and the unbent tree.
And the unbent tree. I remember that.
The vaguely twisted shrubbery.
Here's an interesting question from Forklift of Doom, appropriate.
Oh, we're very familiar with that.
How much do you think, this one is directed at me, but I'm going to ask it to all of us because we all do this.
Thank you.
How much do you think we shape the meta by creating content? That's a really interesting question. I think if
I'm
we 100%. Do have any effect on
fucker, it froze.
The meta with
it
just
froze.
YouTube comment.
All right, good.
It's very brief. You know what I mean? I'm sure after Story put out that video on the Queen Breaker's bow, I'm sure...
10 out of 10.
I'm sure the Crucible was lit the next day.
Nah, well, the scope of the audience, it's not as big as people think. I mean, yeah, like a few people would have tried it, but it's not like it dominates the Destiny viewing. You know, like, I think really... any video game meta materializes and bubbles to the surface naturally. It could do so like without a YouTube
content. Yeah
it does it anyway. What YouTube and Twitch might do is make it happen a little faster, but eventually any good player, any player that invests time to learn what the best stuff is, word's going to get around. So YouTube and Twitch might make it happen a little faster, but it's not. I wouldn't say that it could be responsible
minor.
For
no,
it.
No, see, yeah, I'd like to think I'm 100% responsible for the emote meta in Destiny right now. All right?
Maybe.
There's no way you're getting all these dances if it wasn't exclusively for me, okay? Yeah. I shape it.
I feel like content creators have a huge influence on the conversation, and that sometimes
that
follows the meta. And sometimes pushes the meta, and sometimes diverts from the meta, and it's really hard to tell when that is happening. The example I've been pulling up a lot recently is that nothing has changed to Juggernaut Titans for almost a year now, but it used to be everyone's least favorite thing.
That is a
That was the conversation on Destiny social media, and it hasn't changed, and we've sort of learned how to counter it, because you eventually learn how to counter things, and we now know to jump up above and laugh while the Titan charges too fast below us, but it hasn't changed, and it's still an effective perk. So the meta is not what I'm talking about here, but the conversation is absolutely just focuses on another topic. We have a different thing that we either love or that we don't love. But Juggernaut is no longer the number one topic. You might see a meme about it here and there, but it really does change. And that's because someone with followers doesn't like it or likes it or, you know, puts out a montage. Montages have influenced my play, that's for sure, because I see someone do an amazing technique and then I am determined to learn it. But yeah, I think it's more of the conversation than the actual meta. I think the meta is influenced by the kill feed. And you say, what kills me the most? I want to get that. And so you get it. I.e. Matador.
Yeah, man. I'm in full support of it.
It's a good question, though.
Yeah, it is a really good question. Forklift of Doom, I actually recognize that name. I think I've been conversing with this this gentle person on Twitter, in fact. But yeah, like all of the great tips, especially with Destiny, all of the good stuff that's helped me improve, I've seen on streams. Not necessarily in videos, on streams. I've seen how good players play, and that's helped, like, tremendously.
Yeah.
You know, like, if you don't understand how a game's infrastructure or, you know, mechanics come into play and how to get the advantages, then just watch a really good player play.
You know? Yeah, I think it can create trends. That's probably the extent that particularly the weapon meta or the playstyle meta. Like, if True Vanguard or MTash or whoever puts out a video tomorrow about this beast gun or this beast playstyle, I'm sure a bunch of people will try to adapt it, and it's just like a little trend.
In the short term,
weave itself into the meta, but you have those concrete options in the back. I mean, you can have a really entertaining YouTube video or stream or whatever using a certain playstyle or gun, but at the end of the day, the fastest time to kill is still currently the hand cannons. I mean, you know, so. Good question.
Yeah, definitely gives gives some guns a chance at shaking things up, like the Clever Dragon. I mean,
yeah.
Who didn't make a YouTube video about the Clever Dragon? It's very good. It's not the end of the world. It's not the only gun people are using, but it definitely did start up a conversation, and it did change the environment for a little bit. So does little patches and stuff like that.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Got another question here from Robert.
Hello, Robert.
This is a cute question. I like this question a lot. What was the moment that you fell in love with Destiny? For him, he said it was completing Vault of Glass.
Oh, that's good.
Good question, right?
I guess I'll go first on this one. It kind of gets into my story of how I got into Destiny in the first place. And originally, I didn't have much interest in Destiny. I was aware of it. I had followed its development, you know, back off in like early 2013 when we were first starting to get our first views of it. And when it originally was about to come out in 2014, I was actually more interested in this is funny, but Call of Duty Advanced Warfare. I figured that was going to be my big shooter of the year. Yeah, that worked out. But you know, the alpha came out for Destiny and the beta came out, and I figured, you know what, I'll give the beta a shot. It looks like it's going to be fun. It's made by the people who made Halo. It looks like it's going to be very similar to that, just maybe a mixture of Halo gameplay with Call of Duty. Sounds like it should be a good time. And I remember it clear as day, playing through the beta, getting up to, what was the max level? Like level 8, level 10? Going on, you could take on Sepix and then head to the moon. And, I remember, I played PvP, I had some blue hand cannon back in the day when everybody was using like Saharas and Galahad E. And I had a match on First Light. And it was just the most fun I had had in a shooter in years. In 2-3 years, and I just had that match, and I thought, this is it. This is what I want to play. I can't wait for this to come out. And then, of course, a month or two after the beta came out, Destiny came out, and haven't looked back since. It's just been an amazing, incredible experience. So I fell in love in the beta way back when.
This is a hard question for me to answer, because I got into Destiny not during the beta. I got into Destiny much later. I got into Destiny like 8 months into Destiny, mostly because my friends kept telling me, you should play this game, we all really like it. And I was like, I heard that game sucks, I'm not going to play that game, it looks stupid. And then one of my friends, I bought an Xbox One because they kept bothering me, and then I still wasn't sure I wanted to buy it, so he overnight mailed me a copy of the game so that I could play it with all of them. And at first I was like, this is okay, and I feel like there's never been a moment where I realized that I love this game. It's just become like an addiction that slowly grabbed hold of me over time, and every day. I think back, like, what did I used to do before I played this game? Like, it's just, it somehow captured me. At first, I didn't even like it, like, that much. And then it was just one day I was like, oh, I got to hop on and do all the bounties. And then I was like, why am I doing this? I don't know. I like it. I kind of like doing these. If I had to pick the thing that really, when I think about the item or anything I got, that was like the moment that I realized I was really having the most fun, it was the Bones of Yao, or however you pronounce it. I don't even know how to say the name. But the day I got those was the day that I officially locked on to a subclass and really felt like I was locked into the game. Like, that's my favorite item in the game. Yeah. That made me
baby
tingle a little bit.
Man, I was fanboying so hard even before Destiny came out. I have on my wall, you can't see because the camera's facing that way, but I was moving into this new apartment in Brooklyn, and we wanted to decorate it, me and my girlfriend. And Destiny was not out yet, but we had been reading about it for so long, and we knew that our favorite game before was Halo, so we're like, there's really high chances that we're going to dig this game. And we were reading up on the production, and we were going through all the concept art. Have you guys ever checked out the concept art for Destiny?
Yes.
It's so good.
Super I got the good. Coffee table book.
Attaboy. And then we got two big banners. They're like 3 feet long, I would say. And there's one of a Titan and one of a Hunter.
Oh,
and we
those
got them
are cool.
framed, and they're literally hanging up on the wall of our living room right behind me. And we were just so hyped for the game. My friend was like, so you're hanging up banners of the game in your room and you haven't played it yet? I was like, yeah, yes. Kind of a gamble. Kind
of a gamble. High risk. He actually wallpapered them on. He really went for it.
Burned into the foundation of the wall. But once the beta dropped and we were playing, we were doing those, what was it, the Devil Walker Strike or something like that? Mm-hmm. What was it, the Sepix Prime Strike over
the
and
Sepix
over?
Sepix Prime Strike,
we were doing that so much, and then we went into PvP, and the moment that you throw your first Nova Bomb, you do your first Golden Gun, you're like, this is shit, dude. This is awesome. Yeah. I'm playing the hell out of this game.
Yeah. Nova Bomb was the best feeling in the world.
That was so
good.
Feels
first good,
time
man.
You threw
it.
So good.
Just awesome.
My first Nova Bomb hit a door frame, I'm pretty sure, so that's the best feeling in the world.
I wouldn't expect anything else. Yeah,
exactly. Just a bit outside.
I was like, I got
this.
Oh,
that's how that works. All right, I'll figure it out the next time. I think I fell in love with Destiny like 3 separate times. And for like 3 different things.
Bones
one
has had
was
like
definitely
a full-fledged marriage with Destiny where he's like
an on and off relationship.
Yeah, he just,
yeah.
As
he
sad as that sounds,
every
it's probably
day
true.
He's more in love than the day before.
Our frustrations make us grow stronger in the end, Destiny.
Yeah.
One was watching, I think it's Jason Jones who was giving a presentation. There was an hour-long PowerPoint he did. At some gaming conference thing, and he was talking about the designs of Destiny, and this was pre-release, and it was the concept art, the usual stuff was being shown, but he was talking about the 3 subclasses, and it was that time where you start thinking of, what am I going to choose now that I know what a Hunter and a Warlock and a Titan is? And he showed the inspiration for all of them and the stages of cloth versus armor, that ratio. And he had the Hunters with more cloth, and they had the cloaks. And I was like, gonna have a goddamn cape in this game. That's awesome. And then the Warlocks had the robes, but with armor pieces. And I was like, that's cool. And then he showed a Titan, and the inspiration for the Titan was Master Chief. I mean, that was one of the inspirations, is the Spartans from Halo. And I was like, hell yes, I love this. I was a big Halo dude. So that excitement and the idea of shaping my character was what made me so enthralled with the game. I think the second time was probably my first Vault of Glass clear, knowing that we could just have so much fun for 3 hours and laugh and grind it out and finally win and feel that frustrating release of like, oh, we finally beat them. That was awesome. And then the end time, I guess, was a little more vague, but I had a really big game of Crucible in like February or March when I was playing more Crucible, since the content was a little dry, and I had a big game. I had like 42 kills on Twilight Gap, and I was like, hey, I'm not bad at this game. And I figured out what Destiny Tracker was, and I looked myself up, and I was very run-of-the-mill, but I was in the top 2% for most kills in a game at the time. I'm lower now, but I was like, hey, that's a lot. There's a lot of people that play the game that that's pretty good. And that moment, it's not a brag, but it was my moment of like,
it's a brag.
No, it's not. Because like, again, it's not even a good stat now, but it was the thing that compelled me to push a little harder. So that feeling of like, oh, whoa, that's not bad. I mean, top 2% in all these people puts me up there a bit, was thinking that I could get those other stats higher. So I started grinding, but I also started looking stuff up. I found the Crucible playbook, and then finding the Crucible playbook is how I ended up on Crucible Radio and how I got here. So it was literally that. It was just like the domino effect to talking and awesome. Digging into PvP, and now it's my favorite thing to analyze. So I think that was
that Young Bones' sweat glands activated for the first time.
It was like it was Spider-Man with Tobey Maguire, whatever his name is, when the all the things started happening, his hair goes up.
Yeah.
I'm a tryhard now. But it really did pull me into this game on another level completely. And it's been my favorite thing to do every day since that time. So that was pretty cool. I mean, if it hadn't happened, if I never looked it up, I probably would have just picked a different game and got on with my life like people do in video games.
Your life would be meaningless.
Kept me here. Life would be pointless and really dumb.
Without destiny.
Yeah. Can I just say
story?
Oh, go ahead.
To Bones. Yeah, I got a similar story to Bones, man. But because I didn't really play much console. I was a PC guy. I played Battlefield 3. I had a big break from video gaming. I came back to gaming after a huge break. I used to play things like Unreal Tournament and Quake 3 and stuff on PC back in the end of the 90s. Had a massive break when I moved over here and then picked up Battlefield 3 on Xbox. Couldn't play on a controller because of me RSI injury, so I built a PC. Then Battlefield 3, loved it. I was terrible at it, got really good at it, and was playing very well. Then Crysis 3 came out, played that great, really enjoyed that, was pretty good at it. Then Titanfall came out, same thing, got really good at that. I was better at that than any other game. And then Battlefield 4 came out, and that was terrible, broken game, very bad. And then I started looking for different stuff. Yeah, I started looking for different stuff, and somehow I started piddling around with Xbox and console despite all this PC Master Race BS. And we got this review copy of Destiny that came. We got it in our hands a couple of days after release, so I never played the beta. But I like games with progression and ranking and things like that, something that you have to work towards. So, but like Bone said, you fall in love in different stages. That got me interested. But what really sucked me in was the fact that there was a PvP. And I thought, oh, I'll give this a try, even with a controller. Like, for the first 6-7 months, I was playing with a controller, and it was slow and painful. But I was terrible at it. And all the things that I'd learned from playing Battlefield, Titanfall, Crysis that got me good, like first-person shooter, FPS 101, that didn't apply in Crucible at all. And that's what got me interested. I thought, but I, you know, I can play Titanfall. I understand that. That's got verticality. You know, but it's the movement system as well as the class abilities that really separate Destiny from any of the other first-person shooters. Mm-hmm. The gunplay is very addictive, or it was. It still is, but it's not as good as it was. That's one of my biggest gripes. I really would like to see the gunplay go back to how it was in year one. But like, that's what hooked me. I was terrible at Crucible. I was awful at it, and I couldn't understand why. And it took me a long time to work towards getting better. And that moment when I did get better and I did understand, okay, this is completely different to anything else that I've ever played before. Because I never really played Halo very much. I played the single players like years ago on the very first ever Halo, but that was the only time I ever touched it. So Crucible's really, and getting better at it, and that, you know, the training. I like picking up a new game and think, right, I want to try and get good at this, no matter how long it takes me to get good at it. You know, and that's what sucked me in. And of course, Vault of Glass, that was another thing, but really it was the Crucible that really stuck me around. And then House of Wolves dropped, and it was like, oh my god, everything is better now. Everything is better now.
It was like a huge turning point.
It was because, you know, I loved Dark Below. I was one not complaining about the smaller, you know, DLC than what we thought we were going to get and stuff. The thing that turned me off, and I had to have a big break away from it, was loot. it was playing raids every week and getting nothing. And it's like, oh, I got to wait till next week. Oh, I got to wait till next week. Oh, I got to. And it was just week after week after that. Couldn't advance any further. And I thought, well, I'm putting the hours in. I understand the carrot on a stick system to keep people playing. But I'm like, you got me. I'm playing. I'm playing regardless. But if I'm getting shit stuff, I'm losing interest. And I think they worked on that and they made it better for House of Wolves. You know, that they had a much better system, and then Reforging was in there as well. So that was the moment when I was like, wow, okay. You got me. You got me.
I really think that's something that will continue to change as well. It's been one of my things with Rise of Iron is the drops. I've talked about it on the show, so I won't go on my rant. Yeah. But, you know, the time invested versus what I feel like I should have at this point. Is RNG the best way to go? And I know that there's people smarter than me who know the environment of video gaming, the atmosphere, and it's like, this is how it works. This is what people want, and it's what. And I don't know if another option would be better, but because there is so much nuance to that, it's something that will continue to change. So I think we can look forward to that. If the game's not going to be incredibly inventive until the sequel, I think there's little tweaks to how we get stuff that will always happen, which is nice. Yeah. It's nice to have a living game, even as it's running on fumes as it gets older. It's a living game, and changes have happened, and they always add a quality of life thing that we didn't know we wanted so much. And then you're like, oh, hell yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. I love that change.
And resurrecting stuff as well. Like, a lot of people complain about this, but like reinventing the nostalgia element, I think, is really cool. Like bringing Icebreaker back after it's been mothballed for a while. You know, little things like that, that they just give like an injection of interest back again. And you're like, oh, I remember this. And for a game that's only been like current for 3 years, you know, the fact that you're having this serious nostalgia in it, I think that's another great
thing.
It's probably the fact because that people still put, actively like, developing 5 years of time into it in that like, 3 years. People spend their whole lives on it. I feel like I'm going to look back like 5 years from now, and I'm going to have to answer this question as like the moment Fallout said he does trials carries, because before joining this podcast, like PvP was the thing I did the least, but now like I really enjoy it because I have to come on here and talk about stuff and act like I have any idea what is going on. And so now I play trials every weekend and have fun with it. As before, I avoided it like the plague because I was terrified.
Oh yeah,
man!
I'm just falling more in love with Destiny every day.
What a beautiful story!
I love you, Bungie. Please send me money.
We got to get like four more of those in by the end of the show, by the way, guys. So make sure to say, I love
really
Bungie.
Like, hitting that quota.
Four at least.
Got to hit the quota.
Yeah.
Paycheck might be a little light.
I saw a lengthy question in the chat from Crump Boy. Want to hop on that one?
Yes. So this is an interesting one. We've heard it come up here and there on the social medias. I know my answer, but I'm interested to hear your guys' thoughts. Crump Boy asks, should Trials flawless players be in a flawless playlist once they have made it to the lighthouse, i.e. once a weekend, leaving other players to not be washed with guys who have already been? What do you guys think? Would that...
Okay.
Does anyone see any pros? I'd love to ask that first.
Yes, I do.
I see pros for people like me at first. Pros I won't just get destroyed.
Yeah, that more... lower level players would have a higher percent chance of going flawless for the first time or for any whatever, it doesn't matter, every week. That would be the pro, but I think I see more cons.
Here's the thing though, I don't even know if I would, even if we eliminated all of the people that are going to go automatically every week, I don't know if I'd have a chance of going flawless if it wasn't for someone like Fallout who's going to carry me, and he'll have already been flawless, so he won't be able to play in my playlist.
That's the other part of that. At first glance you think, oh well yeah sure, because it gets them out of the player pool so that everybody else who hasn't gone flawless yet doesn't have to face that. But then at the same time, that creates a bunch of other matchmaking problems for people who do carries, for people who play with their friends.
Let me.
There's a few too many
problems
there.
Is this tied
there.
To only character or tied to account? Because then if it's account especially, if I somehow went flawless, then I can't even play on my other two characters because there's no way I'm going to beat nine people who've already been flawless on my other one.
Okay, I'm going to say this in a way that I'm really going to try and not be like mean or anything like that, because I know it's kind of like
Fallout's
being a
Fallout the bully, being vicious and rude.
I'm
going
to try to say this
delicately as it is.
I totally understand that there are many players who have never been to the Lighthouse, and it really sucks. It really sucks. Because I talk to them on Twitch, I talk to them on Twitter, and you really get messages sometimes. You just feel the desperation. You know what I mean? I'm in Crucible Playbook, and sometimes you read comments, and they're like, oh, I try so hard, but I can't get to the Lighthouse. You just feel the pain. And I really feel for those people, because it sucks. But at the same time, Bungie designed Trials to be, whether it is or not, but they designed it to be end game, high tier PvP challenge. You know what I mean? They designed Trials to be really, really challenging.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if you had a situation where the players who go flawless, okay, you can't play anymore for this weekend. I mean, it would be cool for a little bit. It would be a huge wave of success, which I would be happy about. But long term, it would hurt what I think makes Trials really special. Because when you get someone to the Lighthouse, or when someone just keeps getting better on their own, and they finally succeed, there is no greater joy that I've ever heard from anyone who has finally succeeded in going flawless. It's crazy. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And you just feel so...
It's better than any loot drop.
Yeah, you just feel so empowered. You're like, I did it. I beat great teams 9 times in a row. It's just so cool. And while I really wish everyone could get a taste of going flawless, and I mean, if you keep practicing, yeah, and keep playing, you can. It takes time. I promise you that you can. But I think making it different so that flawless players can no longer play, it's like watering down a really good liquor. You don't want to do that. You know what I'm talking about? Like, yeah.
Isn't it like they can still play, but they would only be playing against other flawless?
Yeah, they have their own separate. Players.
Yeah, but even
that's
still,
the same thing. You're in watered
the whole
down trials
of
by
trials
the end
is
week.
The challenge. You want to be able to say, dude, I went to the Lighthouse. I kicked ass. Yeah. Like, you don't want someone to be like, oh, well, did you go to the Lighthouse back when it was like hard, or did you do it when the flawless players couldn't play anymore?
And like, also like, let's just look at the play count and the elimination playlist that exists during the week when Trials isn't active. I don't think it's as high as Trials, and it's because there is experience associated with Trials and being in a ticket, as opposed to just like, I really love the elimination game mode. I think it would ultimately, like Fallout said, stifle it. I think the end of the conversation is what Bungie would do, and that's never something that would encourage players to play less. And saying Trials is done, or Trials is going to be different once you've completed a ticket or you've gone to the Lighthouse once, I think a lot of people would say, well, I'm not going to play as much. Certainly the people who have built up communities and followings around their Trials fun and their Trials carries, whichever way you do it, I don't think they're going to encourage you to say, all right, that's it for you, time to stop. Go over here now. And I just don't, that's never going to happen, just like they want us to grind out for loot forever.
I don't even know how they would work that matchmaking wise.
Yeah, the matchmaking would be very difficult as well for people that had gone flawless, because already we see this very commonly, like when you're matching on a 6th, 7th or 8th win, sometimes it doesn't happen all the time, it's not as current as it is for general Crucible, but sometimes matchmaking will go a little too far to match you with someone on the same win, and that's when you get cross-continent or cross-globe matches that shouldn't really be happening in something as intense as Trials. It doesn't happen as often as it used to. And one of the things I've noticed intensely over the last 2 months is that matching people in Australia, it doesn't happen as much. It's almost as if the matchmaking has changed for folks in Australia. They're not matching the rest of the world as much as they were before, especially for us Europeans. So I think I'm with Fallout on this one, that admittedly, I want everyone to have a chance at going to the Lighthouse, but unfortunately, if you want to go to the Lighthouse, there are some things, hurdles, that you can't get around without putting the work in, and that is that you need to find a good team, you need to get team synergy, you need to play the real Destiny, the real Crucible, and this is, you know, it might be just my opinion, but this is where skill-based matchmaking takes us, and that is it will stop you from seeing the real Crucible if you are not up to scratch.
I think we already know what happens is if you make a skill more important when you matchmake people. So yeah. I'm just picturing everyone going in that flawless playlist going like...
It'd probably be the worst.
My hands are sweating just thinking about it.
But yeah, I think it would be a very short-term buzz, but changing that to that kind of a system where already flawless people had only matched flawless people, it would be a detrimental and unhealthy thing long-term for trials, you know, like as a general blanket, you know.
I agree, and I suck, so my opinion should really ring out. I cannot possibly go flawless if it isn't with somebody carrying me on their shoulders. Well, I'm not going to say not possibly. I can, because if I find the right team and we work together well, anyone can do it.
The right combination of teams.
Yes.
I can hear the training music.
Exactly.
Yes. It's happening. Fun, though,
part of the fun is getting better. And it, yes, you know, Destiny PvP is tough. In my opinion, it's one of the toughest... And, you know, multiplayers out there, you know, it really is hard to do well. Matchmaking is a part of that because you're always restricted to your skill set and you'll be stuck there a long time and it's kind of hard to move outside of that pool. And then because it's performance-based, if you do really badly, you get knocked back down again. It's like everyone wants unranked and ranked playlists. And it's like we kind of have. It's just... undulates and changes and evolves based on your own performance. So working your way up the ladder to getting competent enough to play very well with a team in trials takes a lot of time, you know. It's like
it's hard work, man.
It's huge dedication, that is.
It's hard.
So I think having a dedicated ranked and unranked playlist would help everybody generally, because you can hop into ranked and you can like play Destiny how it's played with really good people. We can kind of do that now just by getting into sweats. It's like if you want to get good at Destiny, go play sweats with really really good players. You might get your ass kicked and this is
might
will
you never know.
Maybe
you might be a prodigy.
Might happen.
You might be a prodigy.
Yeah. No, but it
some people give each
don't even like, give that hope. I'm going to give the lowest most realistic hope at all. You are going to get mollywopped.
Yep.
Absolutely. You're going to get cock-knocked. But that's totally part of the process. Yeah. I cannot stress this enough.
You won't anytime learn unless you make mistakes.
Anytime you try to get good at something, you're going to suck. It's just the way it is. You're going to suck. But the way you... Yeah. The difference between people who are good at it and people who aren't good at it is because the people who are good at it didn't quit. That's the difference. Yeah. They learned from their mistakes. Mm-hmm. They kept going. They didn't make excuses and they kept playing. And that's why there are really good people who stuck through the hard times and now they're really money at PvP. And that's why there are other people who are just like, oh, you know, I lost in this Rumble game. I got totally, I breadsticked. I'm not playing anymore. And they just put the game down or they do PvE only or they say, I'm never going back into trials again. You're going to get your butt kicked, but that's okay because that's the first step to being awesome. It's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. And learning, you gotta make mistakes to learn.
Absolutely.
And you gotta play with the right people. Like that's something that I can't stress enough. I didn't really get much better until I started playing with other people that I could learn from. There's only so much that you can learn on your own unless you're a natural, like a prodigy. Because this is what I was getting at before: is you might not realize it, but once you put in a good team and you're playing with really good players, you might just snap and you might realize, okay, I am a good player, you know, like when I was on my own, I was just not tapping into the right stuff. When I'm mixed in with the right people, you know, it changes your whole landscape, you know. So you need to experience that, I think.
The only way I have improved is when I've put myself out there and exposed myself to other players and playstyles. I can do all the research I want and I can grind out control for infinity hours, and I have. The only times I've made real improvements is when I have gone against my own wishes, which is to play video games by myself or at least with my good special friends. And I've put myself out there and said, yeah, like this is making me uncomfortable, or like you're better than me and I don't want to fail you, so I'm playing a little nervous or whatever. But those are the only scenarios where I've been like, okay, I'm better now because I had that. So when I sweat, when I do trials with really good players that are better than me, that's when I feel it. and I know it now so well. I know when Fallout hits me up to sweat, I'm going like, cool, because this is going to be a different Crucible for me tonight. And I know when someone like Texas Prod is down to do a trials ticket with me versus the guys in my clan where we're just having fun, I'm like, okay, this is going to be a different experience, and I'm feeling the change of the game, and suddenly I'm remembering things. I'm like, oh yeah, we got to push. We have to be more aggressive. We can't just do these dumb standoffs for hours and stuff. And I don't like that. I want to be in control. I want to be the party leader. I want to be the best player on the team so I can be at the top of the scoreboard. I want that. I'll admit that. I like being in the control of that environment. But the only time I improved is when I'm not. And when there's someone else that I can feed off of and say, okay, the way Fallout just did that jump shotgun melee combo, I'm not doing that. That's how he beat that engagement, so I'm going to copy that. And then I do that. That's how you improve. So it's never going to be the game that lets you change. It's never going to be the meta. When they finally, the next patch, that's when I'll be good, because shotguns won't be as prevalent. It's not going to happen, because the good players rise.
That's true.
And that's the only way it's ever going to go. So
good players are going to be good with whatever the meta is. Yeah.
Yeah. They're not yourself out there. Put yourself LFG, out there. I don't know, ask someone to play. I know it's hard. There's no clear answer. Yep. There's no obvious, like, oh, yeah, this is how you get on a God-tier Trials team.
I don't
know how that happens, but
yeah.
Put yourself out there.
Just start a YouTube channel, make some dance videos, get relatively successful, have Planet Destiny ask you to join the podcast, ask them to go out to the lighthouse.
And then you're golden.
There it is.
The secret
five
to success.
Five easy steps to get flawless guaranteed. That's my next YouTube video.